Hello all. This podcast is a little special. Well, maybe a little different. On Monday this year, we have Rath Yatra, you know, the chariot festival, which, you know, I could find that it started around 12th century CE. Now, we are sitting on the flip century, isn't it? 21st century. And it has still been celebrated. I find that amazing. In this day and age, when almost nothing quite lasts, to have a celebration that has, you know, all the paraphernalia of it observed for so long is quite intriguing to me. So I thought, why not focus on Lord Jagannatha himself in this podcast? Jagannath means Lord of the World. As I grew up, the stories I heard about him was that he was so simple and relatable to humans. So in this podcast, we do a bit of storytelling and always relate it back to the central theme, which is edible weeds, uncultivated wild grains. This is Nina welcoming you to the Audible Weed Walk number 49. Wow, did I just say episode number 49? So what do we do to the next in the next one? In a 50th episode, how do we celebrate? Or what do we cover? Any thoughts, ideas, or recommendations? Do send me an email at edibleweedwalk@gmail.com. The Edible Weed Walk is all one word, small letters. I would love to hear your opinion, ideas. That would be awesome. Okay, let's get back to our topic of the day. Lord Jagannath. Rath Yatra is celebrated not just in Puri, but in many places in Odisha and adjoining Bengal for centuries. But the Puri festival is perhaps the oldest one and definitely the main one. But for me, growing up, the memory of this a festival was, you know, me pulling this tiny chariots. We used to make these tiny chariots with small wooden, wooden strips, basically. And mine one, because it was made with a wooden frame, used to be kept from year after year. But I've had friends who used to make it fresh every year. Some people used to also make it with the, banana stems instead of the wood. So here, the frame of the chariot, usually it was two-story with wheels, and it was basically a children's festival as far as I remember. It was given to us and we would decorate it, of course the family helped, with colored peppers and flowers. And mine one is a bit special. My mother used to put a little bulb in it, you know, so it was lighted. And so the idea was, total fun, like, you know, except for pulling the chariots on a very undulating, often potholed road, when the adult had to hold the chariot from the back. So in this case, for these chariots, we were the pullers instead of the horses or, you know, other people who you see, thousands of people pulling the chariots in the Puri temple. Huge, huge chariot. I wondered why it was so much of fun. You know, we used to also, for this occasion, we used to get a horn made out of paper. We used to call it bhepu, and eat very sugary candies. They used to be yellow, white, and pink in colors and made in the shape of temple. Yes, but why it was really so much fun, I wondered and delved back into my memory. Because this festival happened, like it is happening now, relates to the weather. It's the end of the southwestern monsoon. The southwestern monsoon is it's in the last leg. During the monsoon, no outdoor activities are allowed. It was the time to nest in, keep warm and safe from catching cold, etc. So Rath Yatra at the tail end of the southwestern monsoon was in a way a celebration on nature of tuning in with the season and of the lush after the rains. So he So here is the story. Lord Jagannatha lived in Puri with his elder brother, who is considered to be an avatar of Vishnu. He is King Balaram or Balabhadra, and his sister Subhadra. A separate temple structure houses Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of well-being and the wife of Lord Jagannatha. The fables and the tales about them are very human and relatable. It seems once a year the trio, Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra, comes out to take a bath. Note, it is towards the end of the rainy season. After the bath, guess what happens? Yep, they get fever. The lord of the people faces the same problem as the people. You see, after the rains, in the change of season, when our guards are down, that is when most of the people gets cough, cold, fever, diarrhea, etc. So, of course, Jagannatha also gets them. So, for 15 days, they cannot be visited. It is a 15-day break for the deities in which they convalesce, and which this is the time they get treated, pampered, and get prepared for the new season. How? Well, a Raja Vaidya or a Ayurved prepares a potion like a kara of 10 herbs. Yes, you guessed it right. Though there are some trees and local trees, of course, involved in making this kara, in the list of 10, several of them are wild uncultivated greens. I could not get the scientific name of all, but from the ones I got it, I looked at, and they're all geared to treating cough, cold, they're diuretic, cleansing, rejuvenating, enhancing brain function, treating and healing guts, good for the eyes, skins, for overall well-being. Along with that, the deity gets a skin treatment. This is made out of flowers that grows locally and seasonally and some other ingredients. So an oil is made called puluri. Pul refers to flowers, and it's prepared for several things, but primarily flowers like Ketaki or Kia, which is pandanus flower, totally wild. It grows wild in areas of along the coasts. Malli, which is jasmine. Bakula, which is Mysopus elengi. We also have it around here. Very fragrant, beautiful flower. Champa, magnolia, the golden one. And khas root, the vetiver. Sesame oil, sandalwood powder, camphor and rice grains and some other ingredients. This is made into an oil and a paste and applied on the idols. By the way, the idols themselves are made with local wood. So after the treatment, as they recoup, they are painted and they get ready for the 15 days within this 15 days for the Ratha Jatra, which is a journey to another temple with one stop in between, the temple of Raj Jagannatha's aunt. So the journey is geared as a post-monsoon new beginning, reviving the connection with the people, the earth and the season. It made me delve a bit beyond the festivities into the practices of the temple in Puri of Lord Jagannath. Turns out to be that while there are temples and practices around India celebrates the birthday of Krishna with 56 different types of food. This 56 in Hindi is called Chappan, so it is known as the Chappan Bhog. In Jagannath temple and perhaps in some other temple like Mathura, this 56 bhog or food items are made throughout the year every day except for those 15 days in which they are not well. In Puri temple, except this Chappan Bhog is always cooked with local food items. The food has to be local and cooked fresh every day, and there are 56 items for that, and of which there are the simplest cooked food with very little spices, very sattvic food is for Lord Jagannatha, the other is for the Balabhadra, his brother and his sister. So all food are grown locally from the local produce, rice, vegetables, fruits, milk, whatever. Only those that are found locally are used, and what is conspicuously absent in the cooking in this temple are potatoes, tomatoes, chilies. Yes, you guessed right, because these items arrived much later with the Portuguese around the 14th and 15th century, and it must have taken another century or so for it to be widely available. So these items are not used. So skeptics who think locavore is not possible, think again. This is a bright example. Only local food are cooked 56 items, changes with the season and every single day. The kitchen at Puri is also very interesting. It is supposed to be the largest kitchen in the world. I do not know what the area is, and it really doesn't matter whether it's the largest, second largest or the third largest. But obviously, it's very large kitchen. And it's at the northeast end of the temple. No, the northeast corner, as you know, traditional layout of things, the northeast corner is supposed to be the most auspicious, called Ishan Kon. So the kitchen is situated at the northeast corner. All food items are cooked in earthen pots. The earthen pots are used only once. They are daily changed. So there is a whole community of potters who supply to the temple. And imagine every single food and associated, like, you know, things are cut and kept. They're all made with earthen items. So these are all supplied. And this kitchen has 752 stoves. Again, the stoves are wooden stoves, the regular traditional chulhas. And I do not know the significance of the number 752, and I bet that there is something. No electric gadget is used in the kitchen, not even an electric bulb to see better. So only lamps and natural lights are used. Cooking is very interesting. Each stove, the cooking is done in 7 layers, which means the pots are layered one above the other, 7 layers, different items. So the topmost layer gets cooked first. However it is cooked and arranged, the topmost layer gets cooked first, then the second, then the next, and the bottommost layer is what gets prepared last. So as the 7 layers of tire, basically a 7 layer tire is made on each of the stove, so as the food gets cooked, the top layer is removed, then the second layer is removed as the food gets ready for the bhog, which is given in 6 different times. So this entire cooking process is overseen apparently by Lakshmi Devi herself, the goddess of well-being by her own right, but she makes only one item by herself. This one item, all the 56 items which are cooked every day, it changes with the season because, you know, the local vegetable changes. So it changes with the season. One item does not change because it's the favorite of Lord Jagannatha and he absolutely wants to eat it every single day except the 15 days break in which he is not well. This particular food is a wild weedy green, which is amaranth. In our realm, it will be something like a araikiri or mulekiri. And this food is cooked, has to be cooked for him by Lakshmi Devi herself throughout every single day. So how can you find a better or a more convinced locavore and a weeder than Lord Jagannath himself? So here it goes. I find it very interesting of the choice of the greens, because literature says that amaranth green came to India not necessarily with the colonizers, but perhaps much earlier due to through trade, through commerce, etc. But it came from South America. So if the Puri Jagannath temple is so particular in making and cooking all ingredients that are absolutely local and doesn't even, you know, indulge in using potatoes, tomatoes and chilies, which obviously came from elsewhere. How come amaranth green is used? I really don't have the answer, but I don't think this areas of origin is always what it is known or published. You know, science is also learning and new thoughts and new ways of looking at things. And, you know, genetically, the plants can be now detected to see whether actually, you know, which came from where. For example, I have had this conversation about corn. You know, the opinion is the corn came from somewhere else, right? But Deepika Kundaji, who all of you know, she's a very famous seed saver and a grower. She absolutely thinks that, not thinks, she, I know there are evidences that the corn existed much before amongst the tribal communities, much before what we think is when corn came along with the colonizers. So either it came much before and somehow it went into being used by the traditional communities, the tribal communities, or most likely that it had several centers of origin. So perhaps amaranth green is also like that. It had several centers of origin. But I will, what I'll do is, I will share this particular recipe, which Lord Jagannatha absolutely loves, has to have 365 days and made with wild vidhi green. And it's made with amaranth green. So here you go. You need a couple of bunches of arai kirei or any other, you know, mulai kirei or amaranth green that is growing locally and wild. So every season that can, if you really check, this amaranth green is something that probably pops up first and remains throughout the year. And if you have, you know, notice them in your walking path, you will find different kinds of amaranth greens along with your path. You know, there is mullu kirei, which is, you know, with a amaranth spinosus with a little spine. This is kuppe kirei, which grows more in the, you know, manure dumps and things like that. So you get amaranth greens throughout the year. So two bunches of this green, wash well, drain well, cut and then drain, wash again and keep it for draining for some time. Then put 2 tablespoons of ghee in a pot. If you are doing like Lord Jagannath, you will do in earthen pot, otherwise any other pot. Put 2 tablespoons of ghee, add the greens and give some salt. In Puri Jagannath temple, only rock salt is used, which I find it very fascinating because they are right next to the ocean. So they could have easily had all sea salt they wanted, but they use rock salt, which is called Sandhav Laban. And cover and cook in low flame for 15 minutes. Then at the end of this 15 minutes, add 2 tablespoons of grated coconut, mix well, and again cover and cook in low flame for another 5 minutes. In a separate tempering pan, put 1 tablespoon of ghee, 1 teaspoon of jeera or cumin, 1/2 to 1/4 teaspoon, depending on how fragrant asafoetida you have, asafoetida or hing you have. Add that, and then when they get fried, add it to the greens. Mix well, put it in a, serve it in an earthen pot with a garnish of tulsi leaf. And this is the best way to celebrate Lord Jagannatha and the Rath Yatra. So stay well and stay safe. I see you next time.
This is Auroville Radio. Voices from the City of Dome.